us trampling on the stones. It's us down, down to the bone. Blood is thick, waters were known well, cousins were kept apart, mothers were often memories. Fathers were not favored on the farm, for he could do some harm, he could wreck the master scheme, for he, brothers, could dream. Your mama ain't no saint, your daddy died in a shallow stream, but your uncle Dr. King did have a dream, my brother. And what is your real excuse? Why can't you study your lessons and stay in school? Why can't you study your lessons and stay in school? Free love and sex ain't nothing but a game.
Homeboy by Sunchi Ali. Welcome to the Qumran Report. May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. My name is Melvin Ishmael Johnson, coming at you live from Skid Row Studios. And I'm in the studio with my co-host, Earlene Anthony. Our call-in number is 1-800-893-9562. This week on the Qumran Report, we will have a conversation with poet, writer, and community activist Yvonne Michelle Autry, also Sidney and Simeon Duckworth. We'll be having a few words from Simeon talking about his new nonprofit that he has coming up in the future. Now, Michelle, before we start talking about you and your works, I would like for you to comment on the shooting that happened in Skid Row yesterday by the police. That's in all national news. Can you talk about that?
Well, first, I'd like to give thanks to the Most High Heavenly Father, God Almighty, for gifting me with Melvin Ishmael Johnson and Earlene Anthony. I'm so grateful for you all in the Qumran. You are my angels. And I thank you so much for this opportunity. And may the Most High use me. And thank you so much. I'm so glad that you're here, Simeon. And for all you, well, you know what I'm thinking? It's just like when the Egyptians killed the firstborn of the Jewish-born boys. Black men, I believe, are considered a threat right now. We're at the end of this age. In India, they call it the Kali Yuga. In the Bible, they call it a dispensation. And when you hear, when you know of Illuminati or power, the be the government, you can call it the New World Order, fear of losing power. When those are in fear of losing power, they start to kill whoever it is that poses the greatest threat. So traditionally, when a government is in fear of losing power or their power is tenuous, they kill the males and subjugate the females. Either they bring them in as concubines, prostitutes, which is what's happening with black women.
Well, let me ask you this, then.
And I believe that the murders of the black men are indicative of the fear of the loss of power by the white power structure. Mm-hmm. Even though, excuse me, the white man that had a mental problem, a mental disability, was also murdered. But the majority, by and large, are black men handcuffed and then beaten when they are unarmed. And those men on Skid Row, women, they're oppressed, they're substance abusers, but the majority of them do not have guns.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, because when I look at the Skid Row area, and I remember the first time I ever came down to this area was during my military days when I was in the Marines, 1969. And the area was totally different in terms of the homeless, because most of the homeless stayed in the 99-cent movies. They used to all up and down Broadway, Maine. Mm. They had the movies, and this is where the homeless stayed at. But now it has become such a complex a problem, and the ones that I really seen that's caught up in the middle, that people, even the law enforcement, the politician, the community activists, have no idea how to deal with this situation. And this is the mentally ill. Because a young man yesterday, supposedly, from all the information that I got, he had spent 10 years in the mental institution. He originally was from the continent of Africa, because they called him Africa, I think Cameroon or something like that, from all the information I got. And he's been living in the tents on Skid Row for the past 5 months. Mm-hmm. See, and it seemed to be a situation where nobody, you know, all the other stuff that's happening down here with the homeless, the community activists, the police, the politician, it seemed that they have no idea, they don't have a clue on how to provide services to the mentally ill, how to deal with the mentally ill, which is one of the major components of that shooting yesterday. A man, an individual who had spent 10 years in the mental institution and then come out without any resources to help him, and this is a person that end up living in a tent down there. Can you talk about, can you comment on any of that?
Yes.
On any of that, the mentally ill, that relationship?
I would like to speak on the engineering, mm-hmm. and the use of a mentally ill labels to categorize people to justify medicating us, hospitalizing us, discriminating against us, and then exterminating us. I was mm-hmm. put in that category. I am not mentally ill. Mm-hmm. And I was misdiagnosed in order to justify medicating me to destroy my brain by people that feared my potential. Mm-hmm. And I know this because another doctor, after I had been misdiagnosed and shot up with Cogentin, Risperidol, and Haldol for 7 days, said there's nothing wrong with this woman. Mm-hmm. Why is she here? So you see, we have conflicting reports again, and I know that many of the homeless people, black people these days, of course, which is in reversal of the population in the 70s and 80s, which is predominantly white male, have also been misdiagnosed as bipolar, manic, depressive, schizophrenic, psychotic, mm-hmm. paranoid, delusional, mm-hmm. Because there's a discrimination which occurs. They become homeless many times if they're prescribed medication mm-hmm. because of a misdiagnosis.
Okay, but let me
just make that.
Go ahead.
And then they become homeless, and the police are conveniently called to exterminate. And this happened under the Safer Cities Initiative. Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. Citizens Commission on Human Rights exposes these illegal covert experiments on people. This is civil engineering to justify exterminating black people, I believe, because the country's been trying to get rid of us for 400 years after, you know, AIDS and cracked in, where we still adapt to survive. So they figure we're going to, you know, they're engineering diseases. And in this way, it seems as though, well, they want to be there, expendable, they're a blight, they're, you know, we don't want to look at them. I think it's a misdiagnosis of people that the government wants to exterminate, putting in the trash. Not just black people, but mm-hmm. anyone. They don't know what to do with the poor. FEMA says mm-hmm. there are too many people, they want to exterminate the poor.
Well, let me ask you this, because
that's a lie.
Yeah, for I want to, and then I'm gonna slide over to, I want, for a moment, I want to concentrate on the Skid Row area and the homeless here, simply because I think it symbolizes what's happening all over the country. You know, the fact that Skid Row is the homeless capital of the United States, and you probably got more mentally ill down here. And I also want to look at that, and I also want to get your opinion, because you've been observing, you've been a community activist for a long time down here. And I want to know whether have you seen any improvements in relationship to the homeless and the tent dwellers, the people that's living in the tents? Have you seen any improvements, or is it the same, or have you gotten worse? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, again, I think this is civil engineering a containment zone to justify extermination of black people or anyone that is considered a threat to the powers that be, white people, wealthy, whoever. So in 12 years of living downtown and having seen Skid Row grow from what is depicted in the movie The Soloist, I mean, where San Julian was just blanketed with people, mostly black people, in the street, tripping on everything. I will never forget. I wanted to make the documentary. I started it, but I didn't finish. And then happening, you know, progressively, then moving the people out, killing a lot of the homeless people, which, you know, is never on two or four. It's only certain, there are only certain beatings and murders that have been actually exposed on major networks. What I've seen in 12 years is the children been removed, almost as if it's an apartheid containment zone. Mm-hmm. And now they're predominantly black people, dark black people, very few people of Latin or of European descent. There are some, mm-hmm. either by engineering, by design, or maybe because of their own bad choices. Mm-hmm. There's always, but I know this is engineered. I really haven't seen it. It's a change in the demographics. Mm-hmm. Now, because the city is regentrifying, the city wants to make Skid Row residentially viable as well as more commercially mm-hmm. viable. So now they're, again, killing more, exporting more, evicting mm-hmm. more. Mm-hmm. They're either imprisoning, hospitalizing, murdering, or evicting. So mm-hmm. I don't really see improvement. I just see a shift. Because I don't see the people being able to reenter society either as entrepreneurs mm-hmm. or in working in that capacity and as functional. I just see them being moved out, hospitalized or imprisoned, murdered, beaten, and that aspect is covered up. Mm-hmm. During SCI, there were more policemen deployed in Skid Row than any other city in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. They took airport police, Secret Service. Those people, by and large, are not armed.
Okay, so we're going to come back. Simi, I want to hear your thoughts, and same thing with Bobby, about the incidents, the shooting that happened down there yesterday.
Well, my name is Simeon Ducksworth, and my last name is like, how much is a duck worth?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I'm very hurt by what I heard about downtown. Black people are a threat, and the homeless is growing among black people. I mean, just crazy growing. And a lot of our young people are following the trend of being homeless. And the only reason they fall in that trend is because there's no big brothers, no big sisters. There's no type of police guidance down on Skid Row. I ain't talking about the regular police. I'm talking about regular people, you know, should be organized to walk down there and like a nonprofit to see what's going on. You see, there's nothing like set up like the police.
Let me ask you this then. Yesterday's incident, you know, one of the things that stood out for me is the fact that what I mentioned earlier the mentally ill aspect mm-hmm. of this individual that they pointed out from all the information I got, that this is a young man whose name was Africa, they say, originally from the Cameroons, but he had been locked up dealing with mental issues for 10 years. He's been out for 5 months living in the tents down there on Skid Row. Now, the most important thing to me out of all of these issues that's beyond the homeless issue and all that kind of stuff is the resources that's dealing with the mentally ill. See, to me, this is what's center point of that situation. And that's what I'm asking about. Is this something that people are failing to address down there, to look at, you know, in relationship to all of the other issues down there? I want you to comment, and I would like Bobby to comment on that.
Well, bottom line is this, you know, Skid Row is an scapegoat for the politicians to bring in martial law. They don't want the homeless to be helped. They don't want the mentally ill to be helped. They want chaos, bottom line. Mm-hmm. I tried to avoid, you know, speaking up on it because the truth hurt. And people don't want to hear the truth. See, the government wants to play on our emotions. And they want us to act radical. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, okay, by creating chaos, how is that going to assist the government?
Well, like I said, they want mm-hmm. one world order. They want to bring in martial law. Mm-hmm. That's their goal, is to take our privileges away. They want to control us to the fullest.
Okay. Well, look, Bobby, comment, and then I'll see you.
Well, I go right along with what he was talking about, too. So, like, say, so we roll together. We got the same ideas and thoughts on the situation. And that's why I look at it with myself. Like, when I was down there on Skid Row and I see it, it's kind of like I don't even watch TV or watch movies because I see some stupid, idiotic reality that goes on. Because well, I'm sitting there and you see a person and you know that they're not in their right mind. They're mentally ill. But you still come at them with full force, patting them down and throwing them against the wall. But they throw it off, and you know they are, but you're still trying to treat them like they got to go through their same procedures. Mm-hmm. And, like, I see how they are with the police. I know they say all police ain't bad and everything. But if they was treated like we are treated in the streets, you're guilty by association. Mm-hmm. So if you happen to be there at the same time of the crime, and you go along with it, so you're part of it. Mm-hmm. So so when I look at how they do things, like with the mentally ill, it's like they're retarded. Like they can't see that the person they're messing with can't see in reality, and they're not in their right mind, but they still torture them in a way. Mm-hmm. And so it's like it don't make any sense. And like they do not want to see it better. Mm-hmm. Like I be working with OG and them down there. We try to clean up the streets. Mm-hmm. And then they don't want us to clean up the streets. Then when we clean up the streets, they want to take credit for us cleaning up the streets. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to get funded for cleaning up the streets. Then when they get funded, they don't... Oh, okay. But my bad. Mm-hmm. But when they get funded, they don't clean up the streets anyway. So it's like it's a big trickery game mm-hmm. that they play. Mm-hmm. And it's like I sit there and just watch it go back and forth. And it's just crazy.
What do you think the law enforcement... need to have a retraining program, a program to set up where the community got an involvement on how this training is set up in relationship to the mentally ill down there?
Well, like I heard something today, like with a meeting, like they said it's still up under the old training from some whoever got it started way back early, I'm not sure when, maybe in the 60s or something like that, and say he was a racist person, whoever got the type of training that they go through. Because they said the person who got it started, I can't remember the name, but they say really he didn't want any minorities working on the force at all. Mm-hmm. But you know, you do have Spanish people and black people working, but they're still up under the way he already had them trained. Mm-hmm. So it's the people who's above them who allow them to do what they do, or they train them to do what they do.
Mm-hmm. And then one more thing I'm going to throw out, and then we're going to get into our major subjects, the conversation with Michelle. But we mentioned earlier about the huge disproportion of African Americans that's down here in right. the Skid Row area, probably over 90%, right? Mm-hmm. Do you think a city like Los Angeles that probably got more millionaires than anywhere else in the United States, do you think this has a lot to do with the relationship that the African Americans don't have a clearly defined community where they control the economic life of their own community? See, you that would create jobs and more of a powerful input of what's happening. In other words, if the it seems like in a capitalist society, money is the things that controls the politicians and the police. And the fact that we have gave up our community where others from the outside come in, control every element of the communities in which we live in out here. No other community is like that.
Right.
You know, we're the only ones that don't have a clearly defined community where we got our businesses in our community, where we pushing it towards our little young people to go into business and stuff like that. It seems that since integration, we have left that. We left us as identifiable people and trying to move out into the mainstream society, lose our identity to integrate into the mainstream society. See, because before integration, you know, when we was forced by segregation to have clearly defined ethnic community. We had strong economy. We created our own jobs and all that kind of stuff. We had these strong educational institutions. But now all of that is in trouble. It's a few African-Americans, like I see in the paper today, where Michael Jordan finally become a billionaire and stuff like that. See, we see a few African, nothing wrong with an individual getting their cash and all like that. Yeah. But I'm just pointing out on one extreme, you see a few African-Americans that is making the huge money. And I had a conversation about how many African-Americans would have remained. You know, me coming from Mississippi and down there, and I remember when you go back into that history, all of the big slave owners, they had these big mansions and houses and people living in the field. And now I look at these African-Americans making their money, and they got these $15 million homes and stuff like that. I don't want to get too far off it, but
it's relevant. It's very relevant what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Blacks are being dictated. I don't care how much money you got, billions. Oprah cannot spend her money on black communities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's real talk.
Yeah, freeze it.
You know? And Michael Jordan. And
Dr. Dre.
These black billionaires, they limited.
They can't do what they want to.
They cannot. And basketball players, anybody that's black, that's higher up. That's why you see the community like it is. These are role models. We don't have no big brothers. We don't have no big sisters.
Nope.
You see, the fathers, is he reveling about the fathers? We talking about somebody that can guide the brothers and sisters into that light of the being a millionaire or owning a radio station.
Okay. All right, then. Okay, we're going to come back around for the latter part of our show. I'm going to open it up to a round table. But now I want to get into talking with Michelle, which is our special guest, very talented writer and artist, community artist. Activist, can you tell our listening audience a little about your background, and then we'll talk about how you got off into writing?
Yes, very quickly, I just wanted to thank Bobby Buck of Action, and thank you so much, Simeon. First of all, I'm going to speak about my background, but it's most important because they did mention this is martial law. It is a police state. Our people there are considered the human sacrificial lambs. And if you know the Bible, Esau lived in tents. And he was cursed. Jacob was blessed. So you have a lot of Zionist Jews, they say are Jews in name only, but are synagogues of Satan that use the Talmud and use the Pentateuch or use the Old Testament, the Torah, and they believe that we are cursed under Canaan or Ham. And so this man was called Africa. You know, I go in the middle, it says, do not turn from the right or to the left. I try to be a Christian, but I'm going to talk about my spiritual awakening. And I think this is, again, justification of why the majority of these extermination of victims are black men. Because they believe that they're Jewish people and exterminating cursed people. And we are, it's a human sacrifice. Not to mention the fact they have a rich gene pool. They go there for sex, melanin, interferon, for genetic experiments, food. This is the end time. You'd be surprised.
Was it a particular incident in your life in which you became conscious?
Yes.
And what can you talk about what age or was when this happened or anything like that? Was you still a teenager when you really began to open your eyes and see what was happening around you?
Well, no, I was born here in Inglewood. I went to private schools all my life except for third grade. And then I had a spiritual awakening. I was about 24. It was about 24 years ago. And the Lord recruited me. Showed me what was going on with secret societies, Masons, how evil they are. That's the evil brotherhood. Any Mason, Eastern Star, y'all know what you do in your ritual. The Lord opened my eyes. I'm not saying, Masons are different. Skull and Bones, Illuminati, it's all a part of that as far as I'm concerned.
Same thing.
Yeah, it's just different levels, okay, in this New World Order. And right now, again, they're afraid of losing power, so they got to have human sacrificial rituals as well as their sex rituals. So, and they use women as energy women, sex slaves. Not to mention that there is a very real human sex trafficking ring downtown, because this is in celebration or preservation of women. Women are kidnapped, murdered, especially petite women like myself. And, you know, traditionally, not to mention the good brothers, like I believe Melvin and Bobby are. I hope you all are Masons, Jeremy. Mm-hmm. But, you have protectors and you have predators. But again, I just want to get this in. The women disappear. They're shot up with dope. And they're always called prostitutes, crazy, okay, to justify. This has been going on for centuries. And if it wasn't for God, I would have been victim of that. But the Lord opened my eyes, okay? Mm-hmm. Women have choices again. Choose good husbands like Earlene has. And hopefully we get in with the good providers and protectors. And, but I did have an awakening, and then I became much more creative in using my gifts and talents.
That's what I was going to ask you. When did you realize that writing could become a tool that you could utilize?
When I had my awakening, I didn't realize, God gives each person minimum one gift. Some have many, many, in which case you can't never sleep because, Melvin and Earlene, some of those prolific people I know, and Bobby. I don't think Bobby ever sleeps. OG. General Jeff, I don't think they ever sleep. I don't know about Simeon, but I know them brothers everywhere, 24, that they don't have twins. So, when you become awakened, God recruits you. You have to shine your light, multiply your talents, and lead by example. We don't want to be like the fig tree that was cursed, or like the one servant who didn't multiply his talent and whose soul was damned to hell. So God woke me up and said, look, I have given you this for my glory. You shine your light. And you sow these seeds for my glory. And so I was called to action like that.
Okay. Well, look, let's do this at this time. Let's show an example of your artistic work. And then we're going to come back and discuss it, which I think is a very relevant, important piece. And it's here's Yvonne Michelle Autry reading It Could Have Been Me. And then we'll talk about that.
Okay. Now, I'm going to cut straight to the chase. But as a woman, women, black women, we deal with racism and sexism, and I'm going to focus on God. God always makes a narrow road of escape.
Okay.
But see, we deal, when you wake up and I'm not a feminist and I'm not gay, but when you try to express yourself, we usually have to go through a man, someone that is, because that's acceptable, especially in a patriarchal society, without being called a witch, because in the witch hunts and sewer, then they're going to try to make you into a man or a dyke, and I'm none of that. No hate. But I wrote this about women, black women who are called, too strong, masculine, man.
I'll tell you what. Give it to us, and then I want to discuss it in detail.
Okay, this is about black women that had been beaten and murdered on Skid Row. It could have been me. It has been 1 year and some weeks since the police beat down that little black lady in the streets. It could have been me, y'all. It could have been me. That little black lady that the police beat to death in the middle of the street, if anything, she should have been subdued appropriately by the LAPD. Not beat down in the middle of the street to instill fear and for all to see. That could have been me, y'all. That could have been me. I just keep on thinking that could have been me. Yeah, I heard they choked her to death, and later on she died while in their custody. That was a lynch. She was choked without a rope. I just keep on thinking it could have been me that the police beat down in the street. I mean, what are they trying to do? Go back to slavery with all this white supremacy and police brutality, where the lives of black people and poor people don't mean a thing? After all, she wasn't a white lady. She wasn't even a Mexican. Not that it would have been any more or less of a sin. And no, I ain't hating this message. I'm simply communicating. But the police and those that choose to believe in white supremacy and the powers that be and the status quo presently say that she was a number two, probably a crackhead or a prostitute. The police beat that little lady down, that little black lady in the street for everyone to see, and she looked just like me. The only difference is that she claimed Cuban as her nationality. I'm an American, but no, I'm not proud to be. But I ain't tripping, because then they go call me a mad, bad, sad, dirty, nasty, angry black lady. Please tell me just what kind of fear, jealousy, and hatred drives them. I heard that she was beat down by six or seven big, strong men. using lies to justify and to hide the homicides and desecration of our civil rights. Tell me, do I have to constantly be looking behind me daily while walking down the street in D.T.? She was just dancing in the streets. They said that she was a crackhead, 5115, and she was crazy. And that still don't mean that they had to beat down that little black lady in the street for the whole community to see. What they really wanted to do was to instill fear just between you and me, just like the Nazis did to the Jews. I mean, they are the ones with the secret society steeped in homosexuality, bestiality, and evil child sacrificial ritual. Everybody knows about the Illuminati, the Skull and Bones. Come on, they done gone back to Babylon, an evil empire from Rome. Only now it's known as the New World Order sits on America's throne. Again, that could have been me. I can hear the police effort so clearly. Let's choke it. Let's beat it down. Let's say it was a man, just because we can, so we can do whatever we want to do. She ain't a number one. She's a number two. She ain't a Mexican. That is the code that they choose to use. She's not Spanish. And you know, just what are we supposed to do? We supposed to take everything from them, they jobs, they money, they homes, they children, and their men, and then we get to kill them. They even got some black men to commit the sin. It hurts me so deeply in my heart that I don't know where to start. They say, it's all right. Again, she's not pure white. It's all right. She's not Snow White. Go out and kill that fag, that roach tonight. They would lie just to justify the homicide. Like I said, they even got some black men to commit the sin. They say she's so little. These brethren say she's so ugly, so skinny. This roach really offends me. After all, we gods, we kings, we the cream of the crop. This problem, this troublemaker, this leak, we got to stop. Please. Tell me, how could they sell their souls, receive a lie, and believe that it would make them whole? Just think, that could have been me, y'all. She stank. I think about that repeatedly because I walk down the same streets daily, and I'll bet you she was pretty, young, and sexy. Well, the white lady would say she's not supposed to be. She's supposed to be old, ugly, lusty, musty. Tell me, what did she do? Threaten a white lady feeling jealousy and insecurity because maybe men were looking at her and not at you? Well, they say it was just so scary. They say probably she was a devil, a witch, a stalker, a weirdo, crazy hoe, sex demon who takes off all her clothes. Yes, I know, because they say the same thing about me daily. Seductress, temptress, yeah, that could have been me. That little black lady that the police beat down in the street was another that did not die, but the police sent her to jail behind some crooked cop's lies and evil tales. Yeah, that could have been me. Tomorrow could have been you. So what you gonna do to stop the abuse?
Okay. A quick little comment before we go to community calendar. We're going back. I'm looking forward to hearing your other two pieces, too. But do you see... Now, this is a real incident, because I remember you're talking about 3 or 4 years ago that this happened, where they beat the little lady down in the street, and you wrote the poem about it. Do you see a comparison between that, what the police did, and the incident that happened yesterday with the mentally ill young man?
Yes, and again, I have to preface this every time because, you know, I'm very graphic with my poetry, okay? I don't bite my tongue. I'm not a racist. But yes, that was an account actually of what happened to Faith Hernandez, who was a black Cuban who was beaten down by 6 or 7 police officers. It was caught on video. L.A. Can championed her. Then the police reversed the culpability and charged her with an attack and assault on all of the police officers. They broke her arm, ribs, and I went to 2 or 3 of her hearings, and they were trying to give her a plea if she plead guilty. She did nothing. They beat her down. She get back up. They beat her again, just like a Rodney King. It was caught on video 6th in Stanford, about 7 or 8 years ago. Then there was another woman that the police choked to death.
Mm-hmm.
This is on Skid Row, and she died while in custody.
Okay.
So these are real stories. Now, yesterday, that was a black man. Then you have Melanie Pinnock. Okay, she was mentally ill, crossing the freeway, but they beat her. And I believe those videos are leaked to instill fear, because that happens all the time.
Well, that
and
piece,
it never gets
I'm
leaked.
Telling you, that piece could have been relevant on
it is
what happened yesterday.
Exactly.
Okay, look, let's go to our community calendar, and then we're going to come back with more conversation with Yvonne Michelle Autry.
Thank you. This is the community calendar for upcoming events. This is held every first Wednesday of the month. And this Wednesday, March the 4th, 2015, from 5:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., we have what we call Tech Talk. This is a workshop for engineers, interns, and guest speakers for Skid Row Studio show hosts and for potential show hosts, discussing ways and means to promote and improve the quality of the broadcasting of their shows, how to get sponsors, how to post up shows, and much more with Q&A. The MC for the night will be Melvin Ishmael Johnson. Guest speaker will be Chrissy Stereo, talking about social networking, and Judith Bowman, talking about the process of radio drama and producing her play, Yuri and Malcolm X. The musical guest will be Willis Boyd. Light refreshments will be served, and the location of the Tech Talk is the Vortex, 2341 East Olympic Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 921. And this is located at the corner of Olympic and Santa Fe. And for more information, you can call 213-479-1764. And Monday, March the 9th, 2015, on the Qumran Report from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Skid Row Studios, there will be a special reading of a stage play entitled Uncommon Threads, written by Felix Resilis and directed by Bill White. Thursday, March the 26th, 2015, at 6 p.m., Drama Stage Qumran will be doing a performance of a stage play entitled Nailheads. This play is about the 80 to 100,000 homeless people living on the streets of Los Angeles. The location will be with Pastor Matt at the St. Mark's Church, 3651 South Vermont Avenue, Los Angeles, California, 9007. For more information on this performance, you can contact 213-479-1764. If you have a community event that you would like announced on our show, send the information to dramastage1@yahoo.com. Attention, Earlene Anthony. The call-in number for our show is 800-893-9562. Now, back to our host.
Hey, thank you, Ms. Earlene Anthony. Now, this is Women's History Month, and every show during the month of March, we're going to highlight a few minutes on important historical figures in women's history. And this month, I would like to play a clip by Reverend Cecil Chip Murray, and he's talking about Biddy Mason.
Now, can you talk a little about Biddy Mason and the founding of FAME?
Biddy Mason was a slave woman who was taken by a Mormon slave caravan from the Deep South up to the San Fernando Valley. She did not want to ride into slavery, so she asked the master if she could walk as a sheep herder. He gave her permission, so she walked but some 2,000 miles on the trip rather than ride into slavery. When they arrived, the Emancipation Proclamation had been signed, setting slaves legally free. She knew that the slave master was mustering the slaves to take them back to Alabama, the Deep South, rather than obey the new constitutional amendment. So she and three other women managed to escape and were given protective custody in the Los Angeles County Jail. The chief jailkeeper said he understood And so he locked them up. And then after the caravan left to go back south, she was released. She went on coming to Los Angeles and working as a midwife. And rather than accepting money, she accepted land in payment for her services. She became the first black wealthy woman in then the territory of California and one of the few wealthy women, period. Down on 7th and Spring Street, there's the Biddy Mason Wall, which is celebrating her contributions because out of her wealth, she helped the homeless and the poor and the hungry. She started a church in her home, later to become the first black church in Los Angeles. Later, the movement was to 8th and Town Street after her death. Many will remember Bishop H.H. Brookins. Reverend H.H. Brookins was pastor there. Then in 1968, they moved to the present location of First AME Church on South Harvard near Weston and Adams. And that is the history. But she says, we have to understand with Biddy Mason, that's right, it is the open hand that is blessed. For with the closed hand, nothing can get out, but nothing can get in either. Biddy Mason was a rare human being.
Okay, that's about Biddy Mason. Now, Michelle, I know you're going to read two more pieces for us, and we're going to get that in. But I also want to let people know about your upcoming book of poetry, because you got a lot of writings and stuff like that. Can you, before we get into this next poem, can you just tell us a little about the book of poetry that you got planned and the name of it, if you got it? If not, just mention about what you got coming up, and then we'll go into some more readings.
Yes, yes, thank you, Melvin, so much. I've been trying to drop this 20 years. It's like a baby. Women know, men don't you ever know, because we don't want no sex changes here. You know, I know I'm going to get a lot of flack off of that. It's like I've been trying to birth this for 20 years, and every time I think it'll go away, I think, oh, nobody wants this. God says it will help somebody.
And it's a collection of of your poetry.
No, I have probably thousands of poems by night. Like most people walk, some people sing. My primary gift is words.
Have you got a name for it yet?
I do, and it's called First Fruit.
First Fruit.
First Fruit.
First Fruit.
First Fruit.
Fruit. Okay. All
first
right.
Fruit.
Look, let's
or good fruit.
Let's do some more open mic, because I want to get both of these poems in. Here's Miss Cheryl Archer reading I'm in Love.
Yeah, some forbidden fruit.
Okay.
Okay. Now this is called I'm in Love. And this speaks for itself for all women. And again, we want to, you know, unite the brothers and sisters, and this transcends race. You know, this is trying to be Christ-like. Lord, have mercy on all our souls. Okay.
All right.
I'm in love. For anybody that's been, I'm serious. What is my purpose? What am I supposed to be? Am I supposed to speak or just be silent, quiet, nice and sweet and kind all the time? Just listening. May I behold? May I bold? Dare a conversation to hold? Can I speak my mind, or am I supposed to be modest and ever so meek? Holding it all inside. What is it in me that makes me speak, Lord? Is it evil or is it of thee? I pray, do tell me. Do I get to tell my story, her story? Is it just in order to be his, Ms., or there goes my ego? To keep the peace, maybe I should just smell good and pretty and be the beauty to tame or even to release his beast. I ask because this little baby doll girl's like me. You see, men like to turn out and use us sexually for energy. Like toys and pets, they hide and they keep us secretly as if it was sweet and that is best for us to use for a good time, a real turn on. But then they call us dirty, bad, nasty, ugly, for refuse to see our quality if we then speak, then we become witches to these men that like to use little girls like me. Oh, so full of sin. We'll always find or create new holes and places to put themselves in. But now, wow, I think I'm in love. Boy, I've been bitten by the bug because all that I do is think about you and all day and all night, no matter where I am and no matter what that I do, even when I fight, I try not to. All that I can do is think about you as I breathe. I'm released from centuries of slavery and eons of captivity. I finally feel free to begin a brand new journey, a legacy deep with inside of me, a lifelong journey. You know, like I said before, just playing a whore will know never more. Little baby doll girls like me, some of these men turn out, and yes, they try to use us as sex and pets casually, you see, but I got a soul, I feel deeply. They eat us for lunch time quite commonly as boxes of dates and bags of Georgia peaches and chocolate dipped strawberries, hot chocolate on the side. Why me? Because I'm just so tiny, petite. Then I always get to just be the supercharger battery. Oh, come on. The servicing is ending, you know. It might be hot, but I just say, no, I don't need your shots. No longer will I be used. No, I don't care if you're scared. Call me a witch. Call me the B-I-T-C-H, bitch. But for me, there's no more hiding my energy. Like I said, I don't need your shots. You think I'm hot? No. No need or no rabbit feed for me. I can cook. I'm ready to be number one on the one, not two on the side. Baby, I'm not going to hide. I'm going to shine my light big and bright. Watch me change into that which they say I'm already supposed to be. Pretty petite and still, but I'm too skinny. Not enough. Well, I'm good as what? The big white one. Am I good as I really should be? Ain't nothing wrong with it, honey. Oh, no, need to hit and quit it, then drop it like it's hot. I'm not angry, baby. I ain't tripping. The truth is that you'd be missing. You've tried to teach me to love instead of hating, because the will is stronger, which will make us and our love last all the longer. So it's all right. It's all right. I'm just praying, Lord, let me believe, receive, pray, because I believe you a man that God brought my way. Forgive, live, being only me. That's what God has created us to be. We in unity in this relationship is going to live for the upliftment of you, me, and our family. I will no longer hide, repress, suppress my energy. Lost in deficiencies and mediocrity. Like I said, I don't need your shot. In and out passwords. No, no, no. I'm saving all I got. No longer locked up inside. Not for use. Good time around midnight. Okay? I'm going to be the beautiful, fine-looking face again. Number one, do what I can to be first place. Not less, second best of the flesh. So for this baby, yes. Like I said, I'm in love. I've been bitten by the bug. Though previously little baby doll girls like me, like I said, they like to turn us out, hurt us, and use us sexually just for the bed. No, instead, I'm working on being first place. If I can fast rise to this height, trying to make an honest woman out of me, do you love me or you just want me for use? So did you win the bet? Am I not your pro or just your pet? Breeding for In-N-Out rides, seconds helping on the side, servicing In-N-Out around lunchtime. Oops, so sorry, I just spoke my mind when I was supposed to be nice, sweet, and silent all of the time, just like the special sunshine. Well, quite honestly, I'd rather be just who I be, because frankly, only a scared little boy wants a little girl who just sits and listens all the time. Boogeyman done robbed her blind, stole her soul, her identity, and her mind. And I will always know that when I do speak, it's not negativity. It's simply a part of my personality, not to be taken offensively. No, ain't nothing wrong with me, just the way God created me to be. Gave me the gift of gab. Lord have mercy. Yeah, ain't no negativity. Might even be some prophecy, criticizing constructively to make you be all the best you can be. And it doesn't lessen my femininity. Truth speaks.
Okay, I wanted to have time to get the third one in, but I think it's more important because, see, people want to hear the show and they want to know how to get your book when it come out. And the most important thing is they need to know the name in which your books. Can you tell them again, clearly, the name of the book, again, the name that this would be under?
Well, yeah, like I said, I have multiple books. This is the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is the first one, multiple books. So I'm actually going to publish this book, but I'm going to have First Fruit,
mm-hmm.
Good Fruit, and Forbidden Fruit.
Okay, well, give us this would be called what?
The first one is First Fruit.
Okay, so they know what to look for. And then if people want to communicate with you about your poems and your book, is there a contact information or anything like that, email, something they could email you about the information?
I am on Facebook, mm-hmm. and I've got a group called Now You Know about illegal covert experiments on women. I'm one that got out of the lab. And so you can look me up. It's my name, Yvonne. Michelle Autry, and that's Facebook, mm-hmm. as well as the group, mm-hmm. Now You Know. So if they want to contact me and obtain the book,
yes.
I'd be more than glad to mm-hmm. Share
okay,
that.
We got, we winding down. I still want to get a couple more little quick comments in because I got a couple questions for you. Were any particular writer that really influenced you?
I love Maya Angelou because of her spirit and her words. She has that quality mm-hmm. of words. You know, you can write me down in history, but mm-hmm. yet, like the dust, still we write. It's just amazing, her words like that. And I would love to be able to write like that and embody the spirit that she has, I think, been able to embody and to communicate in her work is amazing.
Do you remember your very first poem that you ever wrote?
I can't lie, but I remember performing at the Midnight Special bookstore in Santa Monica about 20 years ago.
Midnight Special?
Yeah, on the promenade, yeah.
Yeah. Is it still around?
No.
Okay.
No, they closed it. It was a politically, controversial because the MOVE 9 survivors spoke there,
mm-hmm.
as well as, I think there was men who left the CIA who exposed MK Ultra,
mm-hmm,
covert,
mm-hmm.
again, illegal experiments on people. And he wrote books regarding that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty controversial,
mm-hmm.
but there was an open mic night. So.
Okay. Look, we wind down. Can you take about 45 seconds and give us some closing comments? But we just got a couple minutes to go. Your closing comments, about 45 seconds.
Well, again, I just give thanks, Most High Heavenly Father God Almighty. Thank you, Drama States Qumran. Thank you so much, Melvin and Earlene. Thank you, Bobby. Thank you so much, Simeon and Jeremy. I believe these are the last days of this age. Let us shine our light and be all that we can possibly be. Focus on God. Keep a psalm in your heart. Use your gift so that you will not be a weed and poisoned and shrunken. I mean, literally shot up with steroids, laser beams, microwaves in order to justify marginalizing and exterminating a people who do not bear fruit.
Okay. Simeon, can you take about 20 seconds, give us a closing comment?
Mm-hmm. I can't.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Don't worry. Thank you very much, Simeon. Now, I would like to thank Michelle Autry. Special thanks to Michelle Autry, Simeon Duckworth over there, my co-host Earlene Anthony. Please listen to past shows of the Qumran Report by Googling in Qumran Report. Thank you for tuning in to the Qumran Report from your host, Melvin Ishmael Johnson. May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. I leave you with Homeboy by Sunji Ali.
Homeboy.
Homeboy.
Brothers, there's only one blood. Cause it ain't no sense in us trampling on the stones. It's us down to the bone.
neighbors on the farm, for he could do some harm. He could wreck the master scheme, for he brothers could dream. Your mama ain't no saint, your daddy died in a shallow stream, but your uncle Dr. King did have a dream, my brother. And what is your real excuse? Why can't you study your lessons and stay in school? Why can't you study your lessons and stay in school?